Okay, you can open to 1 Peter today. I knew it. Everybody's Bible just opened up to Romans. We're going in a different direction this morning. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we'll get to that after a little bit. Don't know exactly how this all work out, but you know the Lord does, and that's what we look for each time we meet together, is His guidance, His leadership. Last week, I left you at the end of the service, pretty dejected, made the statement that I just felt tired, the best way I could sum it up. And that was, one who, has allowed circumstances to dictate how I felt rather than looking to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, in the midst of those circumstances. We're going to talk about practicing what you preach today. The preacher had to practice what he preached. But that's a good thing. You know, that's part of the process. And the process that it takes to get there, no matter what it takes to bring me to the place that I need to be to glorify my Father in heaven, I willingly submit to. Amen. And if it means that He needs to get my attention again to remind me of the first fruits, the first things, then I willingly submit to that too. I told Brother Lamar that I went to church last week. Went to Lakeview Baptist Church in Opelika. And I was telling my brother about that. He said, Opelika, how come you went so far? So the first place, can't find no evening services nowhere much anymore. But Kevin Webb is pastoring there, and to the college students. And Kevin was Stephanie's pastor at East Tallahassee Baptist Church for a while. He moved on over there, and they're a Reformed church, big church. Good, do you good to go in there and see a lot of folks and hear a solid truth being preached without all the gadgetry. They have some different things, but the order in which they did it was glorifying to God, I believe, because the main thing that they were concerned with was, as we are, the centrality of the preaching of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They entered into a worship service, sang praise to God, but the main focus when it came time to was to preach the Word of God. And very edifying to me as a man of God. I listen to preaching on video, you listen to it on tape, but it ain't the same as being live. Sometimes, you know, you just need that live touch and feel the presence of God in that. Not that we don't get it through that source, but when you hear the preaching of the gospel in a live situation, it edifies and builds up. But I talked to you last week about how life affects us. Because we're body, soul, and spirit. You know, we're some would say a trichotomy. I believe we're a dichotomy because spirit and soul basically the same, but I'm not going to fall out with anybody about that. But anyway, what affects one part affects the other. You know, my struggles with cancer. And it first happened by faith, believing God, going through it. Even in the midst of those afflictions, those sicknesses, faith not wavering, had a testimony of the goodness and mercies of God. And that continued on, but what happens from time to time, to my shame, you focus on the trials and not the one behind the trials. And that's a big mistake that we make. It's one I made. And what it does is cause you to walk through dry places. You go through the motions sometimes. You continue to pray, but you don't feel the presence of God because your feelings, and stay with me on this, we live by faith, and if feelings follow faith, that's fine, but if you're trying to follow feelings by faith, you're going to be in trouble. Because a lot of times the feeling's not there. Yeah, and that's just all there is to it. A lot of times we don't sense or feel, I don't think I'm going to use the word sense, but we don't feel the presence of God like maybe we did when we were first saved. Maybe when we were in a gospel meeting and we heard some good preaching and you were just caught up in the heavenly places in Christ. Faith follows feelings there. Nothing wrong with that. Feelings are subjective. That's what's wrong with feelings, because we don't always feel like serving God, do we? If we're honest with ourselves. Being sick as I've been, and as weak as I've been, I allowed that to go inward, or outward, to control how I felt. It began to rob me of the joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, lesson being learned. I'm not going to say lesson learned. I'm in the process again. God's bringing me to a more intimate place. Bringing me to where He needs me to be and where I need to be. He's simply continuing the process that I preach week after week, conforming me to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get caught up in the wording. I understand all the doctrinal. I'm not going to say I understand it completely, but I understand it enough to give me assurance that it's true and it's good. But sometimes we lose the intimacy of that. Maybe that's the way I'm trying to say it. We need that intimacy, you know. And there's a lot of things that go into this. It's not just total disobedience. It's just a bunch of different things that bring you to the place where it's like boiling a frog. You know, they say the best way to boil a frog is to put him in the boiling pot and cut the temperature up 1 degree. Every hour, cut it up another degree, and that frog will stay in there until he gets boiled alive. You don't know the difference. Get used to that. And when we don't live in hope, when we allow, either knowingly or unknowingly, the circumstances of life to invade us so much that it robs us of our hope, we're in a bad, as the uncle said one time, you're in a bad row of stumps. It's not a pleasant place to be. But it's a needful place to be. The first place is my cancer was not unknown by God. God knew I was going to get cancer. God allowed me, as His child, and God loves me with an everlasting love, He allowed me to have cancer for suffering in this body as a purpose that He uses us to bring us into sanctification. God uses suffering, and it's undeniable when we look at it in the Scriptures. It's undeniable to look at that. What happens when we focus our attention on whether it's my cancer or whatever the situation may be, when we take our eyes off Christ and what we know to be the truth in the Word of God, we forget to apply the principles that we know. I know all that I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell y'all nothing this morning that you don't know. And why is it that you come to church week after week after week We come to glorify God. We understand that. We come to worship Him and come to His presence. Then you come to hear the preaching of the Word. Why do you do that? Because you need to hear the same truths, don't you? Over and over and over. And so, we need to be reminded. But I was encouraged because I know that you continue to pray for them, and your prayers have been effective. We look at results sometimes. We got to quit looking at results, just like the preacher that Brother Lamar was talking about, to spend his life and never saw a convert. And the other man, he had to retire. He got old and had to retire and sent another guy over there, and the fruit was just falling off the trees. It was because he had labored. Without looking for results. He was like Jeremiah when God told Jeremiah, you're going to preach to Israel. You're going to tell them what I said, but I'm going to tell you what, Jeremiah, get ready. They're not going to repent. So if you be faithful and you preach the word. So what I feel like it or not has nothing to do with ministry. Has nothing to do with me being a child of my Father in heaven. It's nice when it comes along, but a lot of times it's in spite of that. I've had to do things in the ministry that in spite of my feelings, I had to do it. And that's choosing to live by faith. Now, what happens after a period of time, sometimes as the Lord blesses, your feelings will come into alignment with that. That's all great and good. But we can't depend on that. Feelings are too subjective. They change. They're fickle. You know, I may feel like I could fight Satan head on today, and tomorrow I'll say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Just that quick. And not just me, but any of us that are born of the Spirit. We have scriptures that teach us that and tell us about trials and tribulations. But I'm blessed. I just, when you get into that situation, I don't want to take all this time with testimony. But I just want to share with you what God's done. Had that evening service and was edified by that preaching. This particular article on trials that I'm going to preach from for the next few weeks. Grace Gems, every time I turn it on, you get it every day. Something in there would be speaking to my situation. How God loves us in spite of us. Amen. Never ceases to amaze. Never ceases to amaze me. But that's how much He loves. If you've come into a saving relationship with Christ, He said that He would never leave you nor forsake you. And that's true. You don't take my word for it. Read the book. The book tells you. I know those things. When I use the word know, I think we just throw it around sometimes. We do know those things. And we operate in those things. But sometimes we forget what we know. No. Or we allow things to muddle what we know. The word know, we've changed it and used it for everything in the world. The Bible, in the time when it says know things, it's always talking about, for the most part, an intimacy there. You know. Do I know the scriptures? I know the scriptures, but am I intimate with the scriptures? Yeah. I've been intimate with scriptures. Sometimes we move from that when we operate in our feelings, so we need to be brought back again to be reminded of the promises of God, to be chastised if that's what it takes, or whatever it takes, to be submissive to the will of God. As we were talking about in 1 Thessalonians, for this is the will of God, what? Even your sanctification. And if we suffer, then God uses that for what? Does God just allow us to suffer because he can make us suffer? We've never done that. God is a God of purpose. See, these fundamental truths, ones that you learn as you grow and go along life's highway, when you come to a situation where you've been operating, allowing your feelings to dictate, allowing you to little by little lose that intimacy that you should have, when the time comes, when we get to the end of ourselves, God's faithful. And he'll bring all those flooding back to you. Now, if we don't hide them in our heart, there ain't nothing to flood back to you. So that's the reason we need to read the Word of God and study it and meditate upon it. Day and night, the Word of God says. So I just praise his name for his blessings, for all that he's doing, even in this. Now, I thought of a prayer that Paul had for the Thessalonians. And God just led me to that this week. He said, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. He's not going to leave it undone. You know, you just look over there and, you know, the God of peace himself. And then he did send somebody else, Jesus Christ. But in this instance, he's talking about himself, the Father. God of peace himself. This was Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians. He had instructed them to live a godly life, to live in the midst of an ungodly culture, an ungodly world. He knew there would be times of tribulation, and so his prayer for them is that the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And Paul knew exactly what he was praying, and he prayed that prayer. Because God's not going to do anything halfway. Never has. If God's got you, you're in the best hands you can be in, but you're on God's terms. God's going to bring you where you need to be to serve the purposes. He desires you to serve. We can come kicking and screaming sometimes, or we can come on our bended knees and say, Lord, I'll go. Sometimes a little bit of both, isn't it? Sometimes it takes a little of both to get us where we need to get. But thank God that he's faithful to do that. Listen, if we've been saved, God has called us to live a sanctified life, a holy life unto him. And he says he's going to do that. And this is Paul's prayer. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Am I going to be perfectly sinless? That's where people go when they talk about sanctification. Now he's using the word blameless here. What's my witness going to be? Am I going to be faultless concerning the faith? Am I going to, is the tenor of my life ultimately going to be that I glorify God? My desire, even if I stumble and fall, I'll get up again, my desire is to worship him and to bring honor and glory to his name. This is Paul's prayer. Ain't gonna be able to do it unless God himself sanctifies you completely. What does he use to sanctify us completely? Well, I'll tell you what he uses for the most part. He uses suffering, trials, tribulations. Whether it be physical, spiritual, difficult, whatever it may be, whatever it takes in our lives. You know, we're not promised a life of, smooth waters. We get them from time to time, but we don't grow much around smooth waters. I'll tell you what we do grow. When we get down there where our dependency is taken and our focus is shifted, where it finally has to come back to where our life is, and that's in Christ. The Bible says that our life is hid in Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He's not just our Savior, He's our Lord and Savior. He's the master of our lives. He said, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. He knows that we've got to function by faith. So he said, may it be blameless, faultless, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, he who calls you, who calls us? God calls us, the Holy Spirit, Jesus calls us. He who calls you is what? Faithful. God has never been unfaithful to us. Christ has never denied us, those that have come to him and those that he's received. He's received unto himself. He'll never forsake them. He'll never leave them. Holy Spirit's job is to lead us into all truth. So he can't help but do what he does. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. God's going to do. Paul, praying a prayer of faith, and understanding that God's going to do exactly what he's asking, because he understands that as true believers, we're going to persevere in life, and God has preserved us to persevere. And whatever it takes to get us from this point to that, God's going to allow to come in our lives. As we gain knowledge about that principle. And we really have to get that principle in us. And if we forget it, God's going to take it to school again. It's like repeating the second grade. We'll remember it. We're going to find it. We're going to get it. If we're his, you know, that's the hope that you have. When you lose your hope and you're concerned about all this stuff, or I'm going to say lose your hope completely, but it gets dark, brother. It gets dark. I've had some dark days lately. Praise God that Jesus is the light of the earth. He's my light. He's your light. And God loves us too much to just allow us to keep wallowing around darkness where we have no place. And that's not our place. For whatever reason, however it comes in, God's not going to allow it. But he's going to take the very things that we focused on and use them to mold and shape us, to grow us up. The Bible tells us that we're to grow in grace and the knowledge. There's that word knowledge again, isn't it? We can't get around that. Christians are going to know God in an intimate way. So there's not going to be a whole lot of peace in their life. God desires that we know him. The only way we can worship him is to know him. We can't worship a God that we don't know anything about. And so if it takes pain and suffering to get us to the place to open us up more to see the glory of God, then I'll welcome suffering with open arms. And trust and pray that by faith I continue to serve him, spirit and truth. I was reading a hymn. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to sing spiritual hymns and praise to God and make a melody in our heart. And sometimes we forget to do that when we get in these dark places. We forget the very things that we know in our hearts. But whether it be Satan, whether it be unbelief, whether it be the flesh, all those enemies that we have, allow us to come in and forget those things. When we forget the very food that we need to live, we feel like we're dying. Lord gave me a hymn and a hymn book I got from Grace to You. They sent a hymnal out. They sent all kind of stuff to you. Thank God for that ministry. But it's an old hymnal full of some of the older hymns too. One was by Horatius Bonar. He was a contemporary of Robert Murray McShane, who was a wonderful man of God, a Scottish man, lived in the 1800s, lived 81 years. He wrote some works, but most of what he did was write hymns, and the Lord blessed him to write. And I had one here that really ministered to me this past week early on. He says, I hear the words of life is the name of it. He said, I hear the words of love. I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice and I have peace with God. So what happens when we get so distraught that we allow this darkness and depression and things like that to come into our lives? We forget about the blood, don't we? Forget about what Christ has done. Christ is simply saying to us, look unto me. What did he say about our burdens and if you're heavy laden? What did he say about that? He said, bring them to me. What did he say? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And that's what he's saying in this hymn. I gaze upon the blood and I have peace with God. When I remember what Christ has done for me, for you, it ministers to my heart. It revives me. Builds me up. His next stanza says, 'Tis everlasting peace. Sure as Jehovah's name, 'tis stable at his steadfast throne forevermore the same. The everlasting peace. The peace is never going to stop. Now God says that when I give something, it always has an eternal emphasis to it. So that means that the very time that he ever issued the very first drop of mercy, grace, everlasting love and kindness, peace, it has never lost its power and what it does for me and you. It's everlasting peace. Not only is it powerful, hasn't robbed him one iota of strength. He doesn't have to double up and say, I just got to give him another measure there. It's powerful enough in that peace. When you're in depression, you need peace. And that's what he's reminding me of. 'Tis everlasting peace. You had it one time, Joey. I ain't took it nowhere. It's everlasting. So if you haven't got it, what's it going to take to get it? Where's your focus? 'Tis everlasting peace. Sure is Jehovah's name. Sure is the name of Christ. 'Tis stable at his steadfast throne forevermore the same. It's never going to change. Yeah, and the next one. The clouds may come and go. You think they just come. But they go. The clouds may come and go and storms may sweep the sky. This blood-sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. The cross is ever nigh. What would give us greater hope as we look to the cross? We don't just stop there because we know what the cross means. It means not just the death, but the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just as we know that was the price that he had to pay for my eternal redemption, it also means that resurrection, me when I've fallen away for whatever reason, whether the doubts have robbed me of the passion or the life, of living, it means he's also redeemed me for that too. Because he said, I've not only come to give you life, but I've come to give you life what? More abundantly. An abundant life. The life that we've been designed to live is the life that Christ has given us. And the troubles may come and go, as it says, the storm may sweep the sky. But the blood-sealed friendship, the friendship of Christ, the love of Christ, doesn't change. I may waver, I may go back and forth. Not Christ. That's why we can look to him. He's always going to be the same. The best intentions that we might have with one another, we're going to change. Things are going to ebb and flow, not with Christ. My love is oft times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. It's up and down. But peace with him remains the same. No change Jehovah knows, because Christ doesn't change. I can rest in that. I change, he changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, nor not mine, the resting place. His trust, not mine, the tie. Christ. I preach to you all the time. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? You can't get around it. It's in, by, and through him that we're saved and made complete in him, and we can't get around it. Why do we say that? Because he changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Never going to change. Never going to change. And because of that, we can rest in him. A lot more to say, but not. Read a couple things here. Daniel said in Daniel 12:10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. He said all Christians are glad that they are purified and made white, but when it comes to being tried, this is a very different thing. They shrink from the very word. Their trials are to them as a nightmare from which they would gladly escape, but trials are a part of God's process of preparing us for heaven. Trials are a part of God's process of preparing us to heaven. The Christian's hope. We're looking for another event, aren't we? Christ said he'd come again. And with fond anticipation, that's our hope, this bride. We look to that. We talk about that. That is our hope. But in the meantime, what is God doing to us? He's preparing us for glory. Glory ain't going to be nothing like it is here, folks. We can talk about heaven all we want to. It's like the old preacher said, paint it up any way you want to. Try to figure out what the scriptures are saying. He said, I guarantee you, it'll be thousands of times better than what you could possibly ever imagine. Because we're time creatures. We just don't get that eternal thing. We believe it. But that's what faith's all about, isn't it? Believing the unknown, thinking about the unknown, knowing that we're going to heaven, imagining what it must be like, and though we have scriptures that describe it, we still struggle, don't we? We struggle. We can get some concepts. We want to look. We want to see what Paul saw. But God said, you can't tell them that. You just can't tell them that. Because that's what faith's all about. That's what trials are all about. He's getting you ready to be like what you're going to be in heaven. That's what sanctification is. Process of holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. Boy, we shirk from that. We look at that and we're wondering, I'm a sinner, God. I fall short. Doesn't matter. Be ye holy as I am holy. Giving you Christ to live in you. Holy Spirit to guide you. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I want you sanctified completely. How's that going to happen, Lord? It's a process. It's a process. What is it, Lord? Well, you're being conformed to Jesus. Anything doesn't look like Jesus, Joey? I'm going to start cutting back on it. Same goes for you. I'm not in this thing myself, folks. I'm not. But thank God that he loves us that much. Do you understand what he's saying? Do you understand what he's done for us? He's saved our souls. that we might be a light in a dark culture. Does that mean we're perfect? Does that mean the preachers don't go through this kind of stuff? I don't know a preacher that don't go through this kind of stuff. That's not a liar. They say they never had a trial, well, it ain't much worth much. If I don't go through this stuff, I don't know how to relate to y'all when y'all go through it. He loves us enough that he saved us from sinning the rest of our days. Is displeased when we do sin, but hadn't done away with us because he said, I've given you an avenue. Now, when you sin, and you realize it, you fall down on your knees and you repent. And Christ is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what he says. And it's not a light thing. That's a big thing. Because we need that process to get to the process or stay in the process that God has us in. That we might be completely sanctified or sanctified completely. Understanding that should enable us to live more faithful. Easy to say. Life's not easy, is it? Is it easy? No. It ain't easy. Nobody said it. Well, God didn't say it. There's no verse in here. He said, oh, when you say it, everything's going to be hunky-dory. I'll see you when you kick, and I'll bring you into my kingdom. He didn't say that. He says everything but that. I was just telling Brother Lamar, I was listening to another message. A lot of times when people are suffering, we have the natural inclination to say, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that, or, oh, you know, I just wish that wouldn't be so. Not what the Bible said. The Bible says submit yourself to it. The Bible says that God ordains our suffering in our lives that he might bring us closer to him. Listen, Jesus suffered unimaginably. We can't begin to understand the depths of what Christ suffered in its completeness. But there's no way we're going to escape suffering because our Lord and Savior suffered. What was the very thing that he did the most of before the time that he went to the cross of Calvary? But to suffer and suffer and suffer. They persecuted him the whole time he was here. Also, he desired to know that fellowship and have fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. That he might know him. And the power of his resurrection. His power and understanding that we have a resurrected life. God's bringing us to eternity, to a place where there's rest, there's peace from all that we're talking about today. But that's not for today. That's a hope that we're plowing towards. We know there's going to be a better day, but I'm telling you that God has a good day for you now. It's good and it's getting better for Christians because he said, I've come to give you an abundant life. And it's needful. He said, trials are part of God's process of preparing us for heaven and they are as needful to us as is the blessing in order that we may be prepared for our glorious eternal habitation, that we might be prepared for glory. Why do I suffer? For the glory of Christ. Why do I suffer? He's preparing me for heaven. Why do I suffer? Be conformed to the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Why do I suffer? To know Christ and the power of his resurrection. God help us to understand that. God help us to embrace Him. When we falter, when we fail, when we faint, we like the one in the Scriptures. When Jesus turned to him and said, Lord, he said, do you believe? He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. God's helped my unbelief. Give me a hope, bright and steadfast. And he'll do the same for you when you go through these things. I know he will.